Thank you, Nancy. Don't you love singing Christmas music?
What a joy.
Well, we begin our Advent series today, and the theme is good news of great joy. And as the dark winter months are upon us, it's an excellent time to think of the light of God's love coming into the world. Advent simply means beginning. And I hope you'll pick up a copy. There's still quite a few more of our little Advent books at the welcome desk. Get that and just read along. There's one short reading every day to prepare our hearts to celebrate together the wonder of the coming King. Actually, yesterday's reading was today's passage, so it's a good segue to what we're looking at. You know, some may think that the Christmas story is old and routine, kind of meaningless, not worthy to pause and to ponder. But this reality that God became a man radically sets apart our faith from every other religion in the world. No other religion declares that God became man, that the Almighty became a weak and helpless tiny baby. No other creed declares that the only way to be made right with God has nothing to do with what we do, and everything to do with what he did, coming, living the perfect life, paying a sacrificial death, that simply by believing in that perfect work, we might be reconciled to know and to enjoy him forevermore. So Christmas is a time of coming, of beginning. And you may notice that the second major part of the Bible, the New Testament, begins with the Christmas story. Right there, how Jesus came, the life of Christ and all that he's done. The gospel writers show us Jesus as the prototype of a whole new humanity. But have you wondered, when we look at the Bible, where do we find the prototype for our lives as Jesus followers, as true Christians, as we use that term? Who does the Bible highlight to be that model for us in this new way, this new covenant way of relating to God? And the answer is Mary. And we're going to see this morning in Luke's gospel how God just shines the light on this young lady and uses her as a model of the sort of relationship that God would have with all of us. A picture of this new way of trusting God, of believing in him and walking obediently in this relationship with Jesus, the Messiah. You may remember, if you've read the Gospel of Luke, Luke begins his Gospel and the first scene is this angel Gabriel. And Gabriel comes to visit Zechariah, an old man in this old temple making sacrifice, and there's a conversation there. And we'll talk more about that in detail later, but the second scene, while the first scene is just wrapped in all this Old Testament context, the temple, the priests, the garments, the incense, the second appearing of Gabriel is to Mary. A young woman, probably about 13 years old, in a place called Nazareth of Galilee. And we'll talk about that more in a minute as well. But we're going to see two different pictures. One angel, two conversations, two different places, and a demonstration of something new. How God now is going to begin the unfolding of this work of grace that will extend to all nations, to all people, to all races, to all walks of life, and from a geographic center in Jerusalem, this wave will go forth to cover the earth. And that's what we're going to see. So let's read our passage this morning is Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 56, and read along in your Bibles as we read this scripture. Luke chapter 1, 26 through 56. Hear God's word. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Let's stand together and read this aloud. Let's all stand together and read this together. "And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." Thank you. Please be seated. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you for this moment to pause and to ponder the wonder of this good news. We pray that as we ponder the word, that you would this day and in this season fill us with great joy. Thank you for news that has changed our life, that has changed our world, that has changed our calendar. Lord, might we shine with this light for your glory. Teach us now, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. And so Luke gives us this picture of this humble child, really, about 13 years old, who was to be the mother of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, you'll notice as Luke kind of unfolds his account, if they were anywhere we'd expect to have a visit from an angel, I would guess the temple's like the perfect place. Where else would an angel show up? But for the angel to show up in Nazareth was like totally unexpected. Do you know what we know about Nazareth from extra-biblical sources? absolutely nothing. Nazareth was so profoundly immemorable, inconsequential, that there's just nothing. As a matter of fact, we found no evidence of Nazareth until in 1962, a team digging around in Caesarea by the sea found mention of Nazareth in some of the things they dug up. Nazareth was a little place on the road from the Gentile cities of Tyre and Sidon that came down through Galilee toward Jerusalem and to Judah. And so most scholars think that the population of Nazareth was mostly Jews, but a mix of tradesmen, of merchants, of service industry, of porters, and maybe definitely some Roman soldiers, and maybe some old sailors that just decided to settle there. It was a Jewish town with ample Gentile flavor. And it was there that Gabriel shows up to share this good news with Mary. Notice also the person God picked to be the prototype of this new Christian faith. She wasn't a great athlete. She wasn't an internet influencer, not a mighty scholar. She was basically a child. And I think it's noteworthy to see that God used a teenager to begin modeling for us. And I think that helps us to see the importance of young people in the kingdom of God. This new thing is unfolding. And so whereas most often we think of Mary, some stained glass woman in beautiful robes and or else a statue in some cathedral somewhere, God pointed to a humble, teachable, obedient young teenager who would demonstrate for us this way, this new way of knowing and walking with Almighty God. With Mary and this new way, God flung open the door to extend to the ends of the earth this new covenant way. Let's listen again to the four key elements we see in Mary as the prototype of a new covenant believer. First, she heard the good news of Jesus. Second, she believed God's message. Third, she received God's seed planted in her. And lastly, the eyes of Mary's heart were opened and she responded with praise and thanks. Let's just consider those one at a time. First, Mary heard the good news of Jesus. Now, some might think that, you know, it might be more convincing hearing good news from an angel who shows up, but it really apparently didn't help Zechariah that much. He had plenty of doubts, and yet Mary had to hear the good news that the Son of God was coming to be the Savior of the world. And the reality is that here is God wrapped in humanity. And we see from this message of the angel, his name shall be Jesus. That is, in Hebrew, that word means Savior. He will be great, will be called the Son of the Most High. That is, he will be divine. He will inherit King David's throne in fulfillment of all of God's promises to Israel. His reign over Jacob's house and his kingdom will last forever. This will be an eternal dominion for all ages, for all generations, for all time. Now, frankly, this was a lot for Mary to process in one angelic conversation. It would be a lot for anybody. And not only that, but just Mary's thinking, you know, the biological dynamics here. And it's helpful to know that Mary responded with a sincere question. How is this to be? And you'll notice that the angel responded with a sincere and honest answer. A couple things that Mary realized. Number one is that virgins need outside aid to have children. And number two, that God and man don't usually mix together in the same package. And so she just wanted some clarification there. Now, the angel shared these difficult things. And C.S. Lewis coined the term chronological snobbery. And his idea is that a lot of people think that folk in other times were just profoundly gullible. They had, you know, about the IQ of a chipmunk and were primarily Neanderthal. And so they just believed anything that anyone told them. The reality is, folks back then had the same IQ that people today do. And things were difficult to believe, but there were differences. In our culture, we are just constantly trying, there's this message to convince us that there's nothing supernatural. Supernatural things don't happen. Don't believe in anything supernatural, because that's just for children and for ignorant. So don't believe the supernatural. The reality is, in Mary's day, there were things that, again, messages that were hard for her. In her culture, there was this constant message that God and man are separate. So the idea of an incarnation was totally contrary to anything that Mary had ever heard before. And yet Mary responds to this news with a humble heart and with a curious, open mind. This is required for us to process the truth of the gospel. And Mary gives us a beautiful example of this open-minded curiosity to the things of God. It's interesting, the word that Luke uses there as she responds to the angel's message is dialogizomai. It's the same word from whence we get the word to dialogue. And so she hears this message and she's pondering and thinking and considering and having this conversation in her head. What is this angel saying? And so she wants to know. And so in the same way, as we hear revelation from God, there are things hard to understand. And God wants us, like Mary, to dialogue in our hearts with others, with the Lord, to process these things together so that we might understand the things that God would have us to know and to believe. While the angel's response to Mary was to give her more information, you may remember the angel's response to Zechariah. Zechariah said basically the same thing. How can I know? I'm going to have a child in my old age. Right. We've prayed, God hasn't answered, and God doesn't give children to old folk like me. His mind was closed. And so Gabriel had a different response to Zechariah's question. You remember the response was, you want a sign? I'll give you a sign. You'll be mute until the child is born. And that will help you to believe next time you have those kind of questions. It's helpful to see, was Gabriel just having a bad day, you know, when he interacted with Zechariah? You know, do angels have bad days? Or was there something that Gabriel was trying to communicate? The fact is that we can interact with God. We can engage him with different kinds of questions. We can question him like Mary did with an open heart, but there are some people like Zechariah whose question comes from a closed mind and a closed heart. They don't want to believe what God has said, and so they use their questions as a smokescreen to push God and push his word away. And there are a lot of people right there. There are a lot of people around us. The message of Christmas, they don't want to believe. And so they decorate their lawns with reindeer and with Mickey Mouse, and they sing White Christmas and Jingle Bells. And they, rather than approaching God and wanting to know what is this mystery and this miracle of Christmas, their minds are closed. And so one thing that we can pray for our non-Christian friends and family and neighbor is that God would do in them what he must so that he might do for them what he wishes. It was hard for Zechariah to be mute for 9 months, but that helped him to believe in the promise of God. And so there may be some of our loved ones who are struggling, who are resisting God, and God is able to bring hard things into their lives so that they might know the promises of God are true. And what he has said will come to pass. Zechariah was so disappointed with God, he just didn't want to believe. And I wonder if you, in your journey, have been disappointed with God. Some of you, like Zechariah, may be struggling with infertility. Others would love to be married. Some have health issues. Others are in constant pain. And the truth is, God could answer your prayers in a second. But for some unknown reason, he tarries. And we don't know what God is doing. We do know, just as we see in these lives this morning, that God has a greater plan that exceeds our wildest imagination. He is working, and he's able to use the hardest of struggles to accomplish his good and pleasing purpose. And so we trust him and we wait for him. And so we see from Mary this response of a humble, dependent spirit. And see how she responded to the angel's message. She says, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." This is to be our response to the hard things that God brings. Mary realized that this was a unique blessing with profound repercussions. She understood that it was going to be difficult for Joseph to believe that she was with child, who was to be God's very son by the Holy Spirit. She realized that there would be shame and difficulty. The fact is that people knew that babies need to be 9 months in the oven, and either Joseph would feel shame, thinking others would think that he was irresponsible, or had it been potentially from someone else, that crime would have been punishable by stoning in those days. Serious repercussions, consequences to this blessing. And depending on who you are, there may be serious consequences to your trusting in Christ and receiving him. On your walk of life, depending on where you are, there may be significant loss, rejection, misunderstanding. People that don't know Jesus won't know what's going on inside of your life and who you're living for. These repercussions come through the blessing of God. And yet she humbly received this blessing and believed what God was doing. And so it is that by hearing and believing, she received the work of God. And the Holy Spirit implanted within her the seed of Christ. That's a picture of us as well. Now, obviously, we don't get a little baby inside of us when we trust in Jesus, but the seed of the Word of God is implanted in the Christian soul. And in a new way, we are now the dwelling place of God. And so people no longer need to go to Jerusalem, to the temple, because God has said, now we, God's people, we are the dwelling place where God has come to dwell. And so where two or three are gathered across the globe in his name, there God is present, just as he was present in that holy temple in Jerusalem. We are the dwelling place of God. This is a new covenant reality that never happened in the Old Testament. And now this grace, this blessing, this presence and power are extending to the ends of the earth. What God told Mary by the angel, he realized it was hard to believe. And so in his kindness, he told her some other data. You remember, he mentioned, oh, by the way, your cousin Elizabeth, the one who was called barren, is now in her sixth month. She's going to have a child. And one of the ways that God comforts us in his revelation is oftentimes revelation comes like connected. There's a near fulfillment and a further fulfillment. And we can know by the fulfillment of this near promise that the further promise will be accomplished. And so in his kindness, God shared with Mary, I want you to know there's another miracle we're doing, and that's in Elizabeth. Just want you to know that little data point. But you'll notice the command of God to Mary at that time. There's no command. His call was to hear and to believe. But it is by that little clue that God encouraged Mary to step out and to seek to connect with Elizabeth. And so it is with us. God wants to lead and guide us like his sheep. And there are times, you know, he's not oppressive. He's not demanding and beating and whipping. You know, God is not a cowboy driving cattle. He's a shepherd leading sheep. And so in his tenderness, he's speaking to us. And there are opportunities to have wonderful moments of great news and great joy as we listen to these clues that God gives us through the scripture. We call them application. It's taking the word and putting it to work in our lives. And so Mary got up. Two words that Luke uses there. She got up and she sped. She sped to Elizabeth's house, hurried off there. And by the way, another little tip there. If you're going through a difficult time, both Mary and Elizabeth would tell you, find a friend and share your burden. There are things that you are bearing, and the load will be far less if you share that with a Christian friend, if you ask for prayer. Just as Mary knew that Elizabeth was experiencing an unexpected pregnancy, maybe they could talk together about that. And so God wants us to share our burdens and share our blessings together. So Mary takes the hint and travels about 90 miles to Elizabeth's house. And on her walk there, she had time to think about all the repercussions, everything that was going on. This too is a part of the Christmas story. See, the Christmas story has hard moments, and it can be a very difficult time for some people. A time not just of great joy, but a time of sorrow, time of weighing our losses, of thinking about loved ones that are not with us. Christmas time also brings those moments, and so it was for Mary. But when she entered Elizabeth's house and gave a greeting, John, inside Mary's womb, leaped for joy. And by the way, just a little sidebar, this is a great passage. If you have friends that may be wrestling with a thought about abortion, Luke, the physician, gives us a very powerful picture of the humanity, the individuality, and the emotional responses of babies yet inside their mother's womb. John, inside of Elizabeth, leaped for joy when Jesus, inside of Mary, came to visit. Wow. And at that moment, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And we're going to see throughout Luke's gospel, as you read, you're going to see Luke highlights the significant role of women and the active agency of the Holy Spirit. And here's just this perfect snapshot. Boom, Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit. What did she say? Basically the same thing that the angel Gabriel said. The mother of my Lord has come, and blessed is she who believes all that the Lord has spoken to her. Mary heard, she believed, she received this good news. And at Elizabeth's prophecy, at Elizabeth's declaration of this good news, how did Mary respond? As Jeff taught us a couple weeks ago, the eyes of her heart were opened. And in that moment, she realized the immeasurably great privilege that was hers to be the mother of the Savior of the world. And what did Mary do? She burst into song. And she declared in that song that God is mighty, that God is holy, and that God is full of mercy. This good news of great joy. Our time is out, but I want to ask you this week, would you not spend some time and praise God because he is mighty, because he is holy, and because of his mercy, he has sent his Son, not only to be the Savior of the world, but to be your Savior, to be our Savior, to call us together that we might declare his glory to the end of the earth and to the end of the age. He has come. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you for this privilege to ponder the wonderful work that you've done in sending your Son to be the Savior of the world. Fill us with great joy as we ponder this good news. We pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.